This is Up By Your Bootstraps, a State of Opportunity special from Michigan Radio. I'm Jennifer White. All this hour, a look at why we separate ourselves emotionally and physically from people in poverty. And sure, there isn't a distance for everyone, but check out just a few of these comments we've gotten on our State of Opportunity stories.
If we made people more accountable for the choices they make, then maybe they would make better decisions. I've heard the excuse of not having a diploma keeping people from getting a job. I ask, why don't you have a diploma? If you move lots of low-income folks into an area and flood the school system, you tear it down. A few low-income folks, without all the peer pressure to fail, will result in success.
Now, this language, the way people in poverty are talked about, it matters. It changes the way we treat people in poverty, not just individually or in the comment section, but in the policies we create. And for someone who's been studying poverty for their entire career, who sees this happen again and again, it's really frustrating. Tell us who you are.
I'm Kristen Seafelt. I'm an assistant professor in the School of Social Work, also in the Gerald R. Ford School of Public Policy at the University of Michigan.
Kristen, you've been doing poverty research for a long time. When do you find yourself banging your head against the wall?
Most often, it's when I read comments to news articles, blog posts, just some of the wild things that people feel like they're free to say, particularly now that there's so much anonymity over the internet.
Do you see a common thread in those comments?
Yeah, one of the most common things that I've noticed the last couple of years that's been a little bit troubling is this notion that even poor kids who we used to think about as being, you know, sort of victimless in this whole scenario, that the response I see a lot of people give is that, well, their parents just should have not had them if they couldn't afford to raise them. So even abdicating, you know, responsibility for kids who really have no choice in the situation and have very limited ability to do anything to change their economic situation.
Do you see any connection between the tenor of the comments you see in social media and what you see playing out in policy?
Yeah, to a degree. We kind of have always gone back and forth between how much research gets paid attention to in policymaking and how much it doesn't. And I think we're in one of these eras where there's a lot of policymaking by anecdote rather than taking into account, you know, what we know from all of the research that a lot of great people are conducting.
And when you see that playing out, how do you feel?
That is very frustrating, too. That makes me want to kick a table if I'm if I'm sitting down.
What are those anecdotes you see most commonly?
Yeah. So right now, the one that's particularly getting under my skin has to do with food stamps, or it's now called SNAP. And there is a push to both cut funding and change the way the program's administered, because there's this idea that people are somehow living high on the hog with their food stamp benefits. You know, the latest I heard was, you know, buying steak and buying crab legs. And right. First of all, a lot of the grocery stores that people shop in don't carry that kind of food anyway. And when you are trying to feed a family and you have maybe $300 to last the entire month, that's not what folks are buying. Maybe one person one time stood behind somebody who was doing that, you know. But in general, it's just sort of the rebirth of a new myth about the welfare queen.
So where do you think that comes from when you see these comments, when you see policymaking by anecdote? Where is that coming from?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of different things going on. In the general public, you know, these are uncertain economic times for a lot of people. You know, a lot of, you know, middle class, even some upper middle class people feeling very insecure. And I think it's, you know, when you yourself feel insecure, it's really easy to sort of grab on to these ideas that there's other people out there who are making things bad and who are ripping off the system while you yourself are trying so hard, as opposed to thinking about, like, what are the larger structural economic issues that are driving a lot of these forces.
So we're going to treat this sort of like that David Letterman top 10 things. Oh, but I want your top three things that just make your skin crawl in either poverty research or in the way we talk about poverty.
One would definitely be women have babies just to get welfare checks. Poor women have babies just to get welfare checks. That's been around for a long time. There's no research evidence to back that up whatsoever. That really bothers me. That there is a lot of fraud and abuse in our social welfare programs. Yes, there's fraud and abuse. There's fraud and abuse in every kind of social program. But the levels at which it happens, for example, in food stamps, it's so low. And then I think the top would be for me that there's this idea, if you're poor, you're not working. Or if you're low income, you're not working. People are working. They're working a lot. They may not work consistently over the course of the year. They may not work consistently over the course of a week. But that has much more to do with the structure of the labor market and, you know, the nature of low-wage employment these days than it has to do with anything about the personal characteristics of the folks who are in those jobs.
What about bootstrapping? You have. Because this is something we hear a lot. You know, people just need to push on and push through and they can make it.
Yeah. I mean, that is, you know, it's part of the American dream that anyone can pull themselves up by their bootstraps. It was really troubling to me to hear about, you know, here during the peak of the Great Recession, you know, and now this jobless recovery, people saying like, well, you get off unemployment, you know, when there are no jobs, you know, or the jobs that are available are just not tenable, especially if you have a family with young kids. I don't know kind of how to respond to that.
Would you be surprised if I told you the root of that term, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, that it used to be kind of an insult? That when you told some, when you said, oh, Kristen's trying to pull herself up by her bootstraps, she should just as well try to push herself around in a wheelbarrow. Would that surprise you when you look at how it's used today?
Yeah, I didn't know that. And that is really surprising because I think in American culture, it does have this connotation of, you know, you are independent. You are not relying on anybody else but yourself.
We weren't surprised that Kristen Seafelt, as much as she knows about poverty, didn't know the origin of that up by your bootstraps phrase, because we didn't either until we asked linguist Anne Curzan how this pull yourself up by your bootstraps thing got started.
The first citation we have is from 1834, and I need to thank Ben Zimmer for tracking down that citation. And it's important to realize that when it first shows up in English, the expression means not just to raise oneself or better oneself unaided, but it is to do so in a way that is completely impractical, if not impossible.
So it was not complimentary.
It was not at all. It was about someone who has the idea that they can do the impossible. And we have some other great quotes from the 19th century that really capture that. Here's one from 1843, the Madison City Express in Wisconsin. And they say, His Excellency is certainly attempting to lift himself up by his bootstraps, or, what is much better, is sitting in a wheelbarrow to wheel himself.
Okay, so if we see this idea of bootstrapping used as a dig in the 19th century, do we see a change in the 20th century where it becomes this admirable quality?
The first citation we have where the bootstrapping or pulling oneself up by your bootstraps seems to refer to actually bettering yourself is from 1922. We've got a headline that says, Up by his own bootstraps, a hard route to success. We've got another one from 1922, this one cited in the Oxford English Dictionary, from Joyce's Ulysses. And this one is, there were others who had forced their way to the top from the lowest rung by the aid of their bootstraps.
When did this become a more popular term? Because we hear it quite a bit now.
We do. So from what we can tell, the second half of the 20th century, it becomes more and more frequent. But what we clearly have lost is the idea that this actually defies the laws of physics,
right,
to pull yourself up using your own boots. To now something that is just very hard to do but certainly not impossible.
Do you think this idea of bootstrapping has become sort of a shorthand for the American dream?
You do see it in conjunction with references to the American dream, absolutely, that people will say, this is part of what you do. You just pull yourself up by your bootstraps independently. And when I looked in a corpus available online, you will see instances where it's appearing in close conjunction with the term American dream.
As a linguist, when you found that earliest use of the term, were you surprised?
I was surprised. And then it made total sense as soon as you think about it to realize that when that first came in, it was making fun of people who thought it was possible to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. But also as a linguist, I thought this is how idioms work, that they can change meaning and we no longer think about exactly what the words mean. The idiom takes on a meaning of its own. Now, that's not unusual in language. Idioms often become opaque, that they just start to mean what we think they mean. We're no longer thinking about, is that physically possible to launch yourself by your own bootstraps? We just think that means to do something on your own without help.
Ann Curzan is a linguist at the University of Michigan. Still to come, we'll look into how the myths about people in poverty get started, even in our own families, even in my own family. You're listening to Up By Your Bootstraps, a State of Opportunity special from Michigan Radio.